Hello again and welcome to the program. We're in message number 19 in the book of Acts. This will be our final message in this series. We have been looking at some of the things, questions that I had over the years that I could not find answers for. So I've spent about 10 years now, I've been trying over and over again to find answers to some of these questions. I have come to some conclusions that I said at the beginning of this series. I might be wrong. Check the scriptures and be sure the Bible, you know, you remember Paul commended the Bereans because they were ready to receive what he had to say, but then he commended them because they checked the scriptures to see if these things were so. So have a look at the thing. I think I have found some answers to some of these questions. The first one being, why did Jesus say not to go to Samaria in Matthew 10? And then go and preach several days in Samaria. We read in Matthew 10 and 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Well, what happened in Acts 1 and 8? He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and in Samaria. John 4:4, we must needs go through Samaria. John 4:5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, 4:40, and he abode there 2 days. Luke 17:21, Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria. Acts 8:5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, 8:14, and they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Acts 8:25, Samaria had received the word of God. 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout Galilee and Samaria. There was churches in Samaria. Acts 15:3, they passed through Samaria. Into any of the cities of the Samaritans, enter ye not. I must needs go through Samaria. What's the answer to this? The answer is plain. There's two different messages during the time period of the four Gospels and the first eight chapters of the book of Acts. There are two specific messages that were being preached at that time. One message had to do with the kingdom of Israel. One message had to do with the plan of salvation for whosoever will. The message concerning the kingdom of Israel was not to be preached in Samaria. Whosoever will, that's always been wide open for whosoever will. Another question is, why about 12 years after the day of Pentecost did Peter tell Cornelius it was unlawful for him to fellowship with Gentiles? And why do we read the apostles contended with Peter for fellowshipping with Cornelius? First of all, in Acts 10 and 28, Peter said unto them, that is Cornelius and the people who were in his house, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Acts 11, the next chapter, verses 1 and 3, we read, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, that's Jews, contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised, that's Gentiles, and did eat with them. Now, most commentaries that I have checked, 99% of them say this was 12 years after Pentecost. One of them I found said it was 7 years after Pentecost. In any event, it was a long time after Pentecost that this took place. How does that make sense? Well, Jews and Gentiles were not, apparently, of one accord on the day of Pentecost back in Acts 4. What took place on the day of Pentecost was strictly Jewish, and no Gentiles were allowed to have a part in it. And that's very plain if we look at the scriptures. And so, 12 years after Pentecost, they were all, not Jews and Gentiles, were not of one accord. Peter said that women would prophesy in the last days, Acts 2:17. Should we have women preachers today? Here it is. And it shall come to pass, Peter said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Should we be having women preachers today? Peter was not talking about something that was going to happen 2,000 years down the road during the last days of the local church age. And we explain a lot of details in this series. You need to go back and listen to that series. He was talking about what was happening on that particular day of Pentecost. He was talking about the last days of the dispensation of the law. And what Peter said was, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, what did Joel say? He was quoting him. Peter said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Remember, Philip had daughters that prophesied. That didn't have anything to do with the local church. It was something that happened back on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Why did Peter say if they were baptized, they would receive the Holy Ghost? Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice, not in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, like Matthew 28. And be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. So you're going to have your sins remitted if you get baptized, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost if you get baptized? That's not local church doctrine. We receive the Holy Ghost when we get saved. Peter said to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. This is not local church doctrine. If we take this verse out of its context, we will need to promote the error that people need to be baptized in order to be saved. Peter's message concerning the remission of sins was the same as John the Baptist's message. In Mark 1 and 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now notice, it didn't say John the Baptist was preaching the salvation message. He was preaching that message unto the Jews. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. When Christ's message concerning remission of sins was preached, he required blood, not water. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. And so, another question. Why were they eating meat at a communion service? Well, they weren't. But you have to go back and look at that series. Why did Ananias and Sapphira die for lying when all the others did not? In Acts 5, Rebekah, Jacob, Abraham, Rahab, and Peter, they all lied. None of them died. In fact, Peter was the one who pronounced death on Ananias and Sapphira. He lied and even cursed, said he never knew God. He didn't die. Why did Ananias and Sapphira die? For simply telling a lie. You'll have to go back and listen to that series. Why did Paul give 14 qualifications for deacons in 1 Timothy? And Peter only gave 3 for the men that were chosen in Acts chapter 6. And why were none of the qualifications in Peter's list included in Paul's list? And why were none of the qualifications included in Paul's list included in Peter's list? Well, we're not going to take the time to go through all the answers to those questions. They can be found if you go back. There's a 19-part series now on the book of Acts. If you click above here on the slide where it says to, you can see that whole series. It takes a long time, and it's there if you want it. Once again, I might be wrong. I'm not trying to win anybody over to my way of thinking. I might be wrong. Check the scriptures and see if these things be so. Be sure and be with us for our next series of messages.